Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Last week, Mr. Scraby brought up a question. I believe the question was, what is the worst you've ever overslept in your job?
Oh, yeah.
I'm here
to
apologize, folks. I overslept. What can I tell you? It's 4 in the afternoon. I just got up.
I am so happy to have you on the show right now.
Tony's acting like I was never even here. So
I'm back. I am back. Sorry, everybody, about that. But
I'm not so much worried about Scraby. I needed my partner in the first hour. And, you know, he's overslept. And here I am trying to carry the show for an hour. And it was pretty brutal, I must say.
Feel better knowing that I honestly did not oversleep, but the news is all good today. Everybody's feeling good. I had to take my mom for a little medical procedure, but there was no other time they could schedule it. So I appreciate you guys covering for me for an hour. And the good news is that she got nothing but good news from the doctors. So
awesome.
That was good. And my mother-in-law is actually getting her vaccination shot tomorrow. So it's all good on the mother and mother-in-law front, as far as I'm concerned. We welcome you back to the program, everybody. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwynn and Chris until 7 o'clock this evening. I know are you getting a little nervous? Lakers-Bucks kickoff at the bottom of the hour, Tony.
I know.
Big ball game today.
I am. I'm not as nervous about them playing because it's on the road. They haven't lost a road game all season. They've lost 4 at home. So
yeah,
this seems like it suits them better. Now, obviously, they're going up against a pretty good team today, so it's a good test for them.
It's a good test for the Lakers. We'll keep an eye on that Laker-Bucks game for you a little bit later on. Brian Baldinger will join. Did you guys chat with Brian a little earlier?
Yes. We're very excited about the games this weekend because of our talk with him.
Games coming up this weekend, of course, AFC and NFC championship games. Big Five will be at the bottom of this hour, but you have arrived at Chris versus the Fans. And if you haven't called in yet, 833-288-0973. I did notice that Dwayne Haskins has latched on with an NFL team today.
We literally just talked about that and said how stunned we were.
Jump into that. Well, that to me is the only team he could go to, Mike Tomlin.
That's what I said was, I said, good news for Dwayne Haskins, possibly bad news for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
But if as you said, if there is a team that can do it and an organization that can kind of give him the stability, it certainly is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then the other news of the day is another white coach was hired, a new white head coach for the National Football League today. I just continue to shake my head at all these hirings, but I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit later on,
maybe,
guys.
Does Eric Bieniemy not want to be a head coach?
Are
we not getting that information or something?
We joked about it last week and just said maybe he's really bad at interviews,
It's –
I mean, we're kidding about that.
Hey, sell us this pen. And he didn't do a really good job selling the pen, so he couldn't get the job.
A lot of people think he'll get the last job. I guess Houston's the last job that's available.
That might be their only hope to keep Deshaun Watson, to be honest.
Oh, I have news on Deshaun Watson. He's starting to turn the corner in my head.
All right. Well, we'll get into that a little bit later.
In the Big Five. In a bad way.
Oh, turning your corner. Oh, turning where you don't like him now.
Yeah, a little too vocal for my liking.
Oh, well, jeez. Somebody please alert Deshaun Watson that he's starting to bother Scraby a little bit.
Okay, 4:35, you'll see why. Big Five.
All right. Ooh, we will look forward to that. But right now, it is time for the great game. Oh, and speaking of fantabulous game shows, we are going to have a Chris's.
You literally just split in the middle of your sentence. That was great.
What?
You went from Chris versus the fans to Chris's fantabulous game show. I love it.
Well, what I was going to say was that we had a fantabulous game show coming up right now, but we also have one later on. That's what that was going to be my point. But right now it's Chris versus the fans. Please play the promo and get the show back on track.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, at stake, chance to qualify for the chance to win our grand prize for the month of January. Gwen and Chris, trip to Las Vegas includes a round of golf for two, $250 food and beverage credit, and a two-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. It's legendary Vegas fun. Must be 21 years or older to get eligible, and you must win a round of Chris versus the fans. Scraby, I'm sure you will tell them how they can do that.
Yes, you have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question, or you win on your third question.
All right.
All right. Well, let's get to our first contestant, Corey. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Thursday to you.
Happy Thursday to you guys.
Hey, Corey.
Indeed. Let's get to the first question. What color is the Buffalo Bills helmet primarily?
White.
White?
Wow.
Is correct.
I thought we were going to get some reds or some blues.
Nope. One of only five white helmets in the National Football League.
Name them.
You want me to name them or you want Corey to name them?
No, I want you to name them.
Corey wants to.
I think Corey might be able to do it. Go ahead, Corey.
Corey, go for it.
So we got the Chargers are white these days, right? The Dolphins are white.
Yeah.
Where are we going next?
We got the Colts and the Cardinals.
Colts and the Cardinals.
There we go.
There we go. Corey, you win.
Question number two, Corey. Scraby was scraping the bottom of the barrel for these questions.
You don't
questions
have to tell
today.
People that.
What NFC South running back had the longest play from scrimmage in 2020 regular season with a 98-yard run?
NFC South.
Silence is not good on a radio show. Oh, my God.
Chris,
for the steal. You're out of time. This was the only run that was not against me in a fantasy football game this year, but I remember it happened for my wife's team, and she was pretty excited about it. Ronald Jones.
Thank you, Corey.
That is correct. Ronald Jones Jr. took it.
Sorry, 98
yards for a tub. All right. We are on to our next contestant, James. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Thursday to you.
Hold on. Where'd James
Hold on.
Go? Where'd James go? There's James. Okay.
James, what's going on? Happy
Hi,
Thursday.
Hi, James. What's up, buddy?
Hey, fellas. Happy Thursday.
You too, man.
First question. What color does Tiger Woods wear on Sundays?
Red.
Red it is.
Why is that such a ridiculous question?
By the
it's
way,
not, it's question number one. So
I watched the full Tiger Woods documentary.
Oh,
I have a bone to pick with Scraby on that one.
Oh,
all right, we're gonna get to that. Back to that bone. Wow. Let's finish the
game.
Yeah,
we'll get back to that.
Question number two, James. What college was the last to win an NCAA tournament in basketball back to back seasons?
Ooh. Man. Oh, I'm going to say UCLA.
UCLA.
Fight, fight, fight.
Your A.
If I'm not mistaken, it wasn't that long ago that Villanova did that.
Villanova.
I'll say Villanova.
Incorrect.
I guess they didn't do that.
They did not. The last team to do it was the Florida Gators.
Still the Florida Gators, huh?
Yes. Yes, it was
right.
The Florida Gators.
For you.
James, on to question number three. Chance to qualify for the Vegas trip. Oh, yeah. Which NFL team leads the number of games played in the international series? Which team do they pick on to send overseas every year, basically?
I think I know this. I hope I know this. Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jacksonville Jaguars. Oh, we got it.
We got it.
Yeah, we got a straight up winner today. Nice.
Hang on the line, James.
If you don't want to go to Europe, don't be sorry. Because that seems like who they send over there all
well,
the time.
They've asked to go over there because they couldn't. Sell any tickets to their games.
That's right. That's right. So they said, let's go all the way to Europe.
So they were like, we'll take the game in London. That's one less game that we have to try to sell tickets to.
Well, that and they were trying to do like a split thing for a little bit. Like there was talk of that where it would be half Jacksonville, half London to try to get everybody involved.
Yeah, that didn't make a lot of sense.
No. James, hang on the line. Scraby will get to you in a second to get your information and get you all signed up to possibly qualify for that Vegas trip.
Nice going, James. Well done. I don't know why I thought Villanova won back-to-back championships. I guess they won 2 and 3 years or something like that.
They did. I think they lost. They won on the last second shot that year. They beat North Carolina.
Right.
I want to say they were either in the year before or the year after.
Yeah, they beat.
I have the list sitting right here. While you guys are speculating, I could have just told you.
Yeah, they beat. They did. They won in 16 and 18.
Yeah,
but they lost in the middle to North Carolina. Actually, North Carolina could have won back to back because they lost 1 year and then won the next year. But anyway, like, who's the last team to win the NCAA basketball championship? It's been a long time.
Virginia, isn't it?
Still Virginia. Yeah, they're still the defending national champions, going on like their third year as defending national champions.
Right.
So weird.
Can you fire Tony Bennett? And not that they're going to, but can you fire him as the reigning NCAA
National champion coach?
Yeah, for at least for the end of the year, he's got a job, right?
I would think so. I mean, the team isn't doing that badly this year. I mean, if you're going to fire somebody, fire John Calipari at Kentucky. They're 5-8. Which is incredibly bad for Kentucky.
That is really bad.
What did you say earlier this week? The Kentucky, North Carolina, and Duke were not, all three were not ranked, Tony. Did you hear this for the first time since 1961?
Yep, 59 years.
That's pretty crazy, right?
That is unbelievable that all three of them have been ranked, at least one of them have been ranked for 59 years in a row. 59 years in a row. Yikes. That's crazy. All right, good round of Chris versus the fans today. Nice job by James. He walks out of here the winner. We will have another opportunity for you to qualify for that Vegas trip tomorrow at 4 o'clock and play a little Chris versus the fans. So we look forward to that. When we come back, what is the matter with our old friend Chris Bryant? Not having fun playing baseball.
I also want to hear about why you have this bone to pick with me.
Oh, I got a major bone to pick
with you. A major bone?
Yeah,
major.
Tiger Woods documentary. I watched that last night from start to finish, both parts. And,
salacious, huh?
Huh?
Salacious, huh?
Well, I don't see what you're all whining about. But we'll
that's
find
a
out
weird way of explaining
Wait,
it.
Let him pick his bone with you when he's ready to pick.
Yeah, let me pick my bone with you when I'm ready to pick.
Sorry. Okay.
Not ready. Got to take a little break. We got to check a little traffic right now from San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Here is that check of traffic, the Fan's traffic report from the Valley View Casino and Hotel Traffic Center.
4:19 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ella, Matt Scrape. The gang is all here and ready to take you to 7 o'clock. Major League Baseball season is not too far away. Pitchers and catchers report in about a month, maybe a little less than that at this point. Still no word on if spring training starts on time. Still no word on if it's going to be a full season, but the time is getting closer. You know, some of the things I've heard haven't necessarily been on the positive side. I've heard the players and owners haven't had a conversation really since I believe it was November. So
there's a stunner. What's the matter with these guys?
I don't know. You know what's interesting about it is you look at all of the you look at football, you look at I shouldn't count football. You look at basketball, and it seems like they kind of have a template for how things should work in terms of being business partners as opposed to kind of offsetting entities that are constantly playing tug of war. It just seems like they got a better beat on it than baseball does right now.
Yeah, they're allies. They're working together to try and make basketball as good as possible and get everybody as much money as possible. And if baseball players and baseball owners would figure out the same thing, you know, we've talked about this before, but there's billions of dollars to carve up here. So it's not like it should be that difficult to try to get at least somewhat on the same page. But the problem is the players don't trust the owners.
That is exactly the problem.
As a former player, Tony, can speak to that a little bit more. But the owners have pulled a lot of shenanigans over the years. And if you don't have the trust of your partner in any relationship, it's going to be difficult to keep that relationship afloat. And that's what's happened with baseball.
Yeah. I think it boils down to that simple one word that you use, trust.
Yeah.
There is clearly a lack of it between the two sides on baseball, and there's clearly a lot of it on the basketball side. You think both sides recognized that they were going to be in a pandemic. They had to make necessary concessions. Both sides did, and they recognized that it was for the betterment of their game. Trust goes a long way when you're dealing with billions of dollars. There does need to be some element of it there, and it just seems like right now Major League Baseball doesn't have it. And you teased it before we went to the break. Former USD star Chris Bryant doesn't seem to be having a good time. And you know, I read this a little bit last year. He kind of was alluding to the game not being as fun to him anymore. And it seems like he's still feeling that way. We have some sound from the Red Line radio podcast he was on. And here's what he had to say.
At times, no. At times, it really got to me sometimes. Like, just the stuff I was hearing. And I think I talked about this a little bit. Like, 2018, like, the first trade rumors that started to pop up, like, that really got to me. And, like, I found myself like, man, is this even fun anymore? Like, why did I start playing this game? You know, because it was fun. You know, obviously there's a lot of other stuff involved. Like, you make a ton of money and there's fame and all this, but it's like, you got to get yourself back to why I started playing. And like, I just remember my first home run, running around the bases. My dad picks me up after around third. I don't even touch home plate, but like, that's the kind of joy that you got to find. And like, I found myself sitting there like, I don't have that joy right now. So it's like, I'm trying all I can to kind of get back to that place. And like, I look back on this year, like, it was really rough for me personally.
Yeah, listen, it just that to me goes to show you that, you know, and Chris, you've talked about this on our show many times. Sometimes we tend to, like, put trades together like it's a video game and, like, there aren't real lives that are actually
They're just baseball cards. I'll give you this guy for that guy.
Exactly. It's almost like baseball cards. It goes to show you that even somebody who's had as much success as Chris Bryant has had, nobody really enjoys being the subject of rumors of basically what that's basically telling me is the team that I'm on doesn't want me. They want to send me someplace else. I don't care who
you are. It'd be hard to show up to work every day if you felt like they were trying to get rid of you and put you on another radio station. I think I would feel that way. I mean,
yeah.
You know, if I felt like the people here didn't really like what we were doing and they were trying to find somebody new to replace us and they're like, well, until we can find somebody new, you just go ahead and do the best you can. I'd be like, what are you talking about? I mean, wait,
right.
So in the rest of our jobs, we're supposed to, you know, just imagine that, you know, we would be able to go along and do just fine if we didn't think, you know, our bosses and owners and people we work with, you know, didn't like the work we were doing. But I think most of us would have a lot of trouble showing up every day and putting their best foot forward. But we expect baseball players to have to do that when their names are being dragged through the trade rumor mill. And, you know, I mean, you know, Chris Bryant said it right. I mean, they make a lot of money. There's a lot of fame. This is all part of it. I'm sure there's people out there going, tell him to shut up and just play ball. But look, he's a person. I mean, people forget, man. These guys are people. They got families. They got kids. They got wives. They got dads and moms that they got to take to the doctor and get procedures on once in a while. I mean, they're real people. And it would be difficult, I think, for all of us or any of us, you know, to have to play through that sometimes. And I think that's all Chris Bryant's saying, is that it's not as easy as you might think.
Yeah, but this, I mean, you know, the whole shut up and play idea, it doesn't just boil down to politics, right? I mean, it has like real life mental effects. It also highlights the fact that it doesn't matter how much money you make. If you are not happy doing what you want to do, it does affect your production. And listen, I feel for Chris. You can hear it in his voice. You know, you could ask a question like, do you still have the same joy, or does it still do these things still bother you? And you'd say, yeah, sometimes they still do. That means he's still dealing with it. So
yeah,
certainly hope Chris can find his happiness, because when he's on, man, and you know, injuries play a factor in that too. When you're hurt all the time or you've been banged up the last couple years as he has, the game – not playing the game at your best ability is tough for a lot of guys. So certainly hoping Chris Bryant finds his joy again playing the game that that he enjoyed so much as a kid.
Speaking of guys that had injuries that took the joy away from the game they loved to play, that leads me to Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
And that leads me to the Tiger Woods special documentary that's been on HBO. And by the way, maybe one of the reasons you're going to think I'm sticking up for this documentary is one of the guys who put it together is a guy named Armin Katayan, who played ball at San Diego State, Tony, before your dad and I even. And so he's a San Diego State guy, great writer at Sports Illustrated, and part of this thing. The only bone I really have to pick with Scraby here is that he was crying about this documentary, and he's saying that it's totally unfair.
Will you stop describing it like that?
Oh, you've been crying all about it and saying it's an unfair attack on Tiger Woods. So I kept watching it, waiting for all of this unfair stuff you're talking about. And I didn't see anything unfair in the entire documentary. I thought almost everything was told from both sides. You say it's salacious. The guy lived a salacious life for a while there.
He kind of did, Scrape.
There's no other way to describe it other than it was pretty salacious what he was involved with. But you couldn't help, honestly, but feel sorry for Tiger Woods. I thought as you watched the second part of this documentary and his body was breaking down and mentally he was breaking down, and they made it very clear that he grew up in a family, with a dad and mom that were very demanding and controlling, and that he had to deal with a lot of the things that he saw his father go through. And, you know, I thought they gave good reason as for why Tiger Woods broke down mentally and physically to a certain extent. I'm not saying that anybody would have reacted the way he did, but given the money and the freedom and the fame that he had, it's not surprising that he reacted to a certain extent the way he did. I didn't think there was anything that was out of bounds here. Even Michael Jordan took a couple of shots in this thing, because they put him in there going to Vegas with Tiger Woods. And look, if you live a life like Tiger Woods has, where A, you get involved in a lot of salacious things, but B, it was interesting, Tony, I don't know if you've seen the whole documentary.
I haven't seen it yet.
Just about everybody they interviewed for the documentary was somebody who was a close friend or associate of Tiger Woods for a long time in his life that Tiger Woods no longer talks to at all and has shut out of his life completely, which includes his former caddy, Steve Williams, and includes friends and includes girls and includes guys and includes, you know, people his dad's was friends. I mean, just about everybody on there was like, yeah, I have no relationship with Tiger Woods anymore in my life. And if you're going to do that, you unfortunately leave yourself open to have people come back when they're asked about you that are going to speak in hurtful tones. Way it is. So
let me say this about that, because a lot of times, especially when you've, as you pointed out, have been lived a salacious life, as Tiger did early on, a lot of those folks that have those stories were around for those stories.
Yeah.
And the fact that they were around for those stories, you know, might put them in a category where they, if you're trying to change your life and you're trying to change it for the better, that some of these folks may need to get cut out of it because they are a part of that old process that you, you used to be a part of. They have all these stories. They have, they can, people, the Sports Illustrated could go to these folks because they had firsthand knowledge of these incidents back in the day. He's no longer talking to them, but he's also no longer living his life, at least as far as we know, the way he used to, right. Which I think by all accounts is a good thing compared
and
to what it was before.
And that's how they ended the documentary, by him winning the 2019 Masters and apparently getting his life back on track. That's how the whole story finished, was a happy ending.
Out.
So I don't know. Scraby, I thought, was being very protective of Tiger when he was talking about this, comparing it to Michael Jordan's thing. Look, if the only guy they interviewed in the Michael Jordan Last Dance thing was Isaiah Thomas, then Michael Jordan would have come off looking a whole lot worse. But unfortunately, a lot of these people that Tiger Woods left in the lurch were interviewed. And a lot of them did apparently want to try to help him, Tony. I don't know for sure, but right. It sounded like they were trying to help him, and they couldn't get through to him anymore, and he kind of cut them out of the life, out of his life. It's really a cautionary tale. It's a sad story. I didn't realize how far he had fallen. I really didn't. I knew he fell. I didn't know that he had fallen as far as he did, to the point where he couldn't even get out of bed most days. He was in such physical pain, and the mental anguish he went through, and the drugs that he was, the painkillers and things he was addicted to. It was incredible how far he fell. And for him to come back and win that Masters in 2019 is really one of the great sports comebacks of all time. And I thought that's a lot of how the documentary was told. So I didn't think it was anti-Tiger all that much. I thought it was, it seemed like it was pretty accurate to me. Maybe he didn't want to go ahead and co-sign it, but that's understandable because there's a lot of stuff in there that makes him look bad.
You know,
I mean,
you know,
that's just the way it goes.
You know who I usually trust most are the people that have been wronged by someone who makes them money. That's who I trust. Which is Tiger Woods' caddy and Tiger Woods' ex-managers. A lot of people that make money off of Tiger Woods, he doesn't talk to anymore, and all of a sudden they're doing these documentaries about him, and they're probably making more money off of Tiger Woods. I cannot get behind that if Tiger doesn't sign off.
I don't know if it's so much as Tiger signing off, because ultimately if you are going to have a true documentary, as we learned, and for me, it didn't bother me that Michael did his own. It didn't bother me at all, because at the time, I needed every bit of those stories that he was giving us in, what
we
was that, March?
We needed
it desperately. But I do see Scraby's point. I need to check this thing out for myself, because apparently it sounds like it was a pretty good documentary.
It's salacious.
It's pretty good. It's unbelievable the stuff he was involved in.
Allegedly.
It absolutely
allegedly.
Is.
Allegedly.
Allegedly
thank
involved.
Thank you.
In.
Thank
right.
you. Because yeah, I
hate
my
to
friends...
listen to. I hate to quote the National Enquirer.
You know, when they make a documentary on me called the Last Microphone or something like that, I'm gonna have all the friends that knew me before I became a sober person, so that they could talk about me being an alcoholic, and I don't talk to them anymore. So their last memory of me from like 30 years ago would be me like falling over myself at a bar. And so
yeah,
that's
but
what
that wasn't everybody who was interviewed, Scraby. There was some close personal friends that I didn't feel like were involved in that part of the life with him.
But
that
what's
they
the
talked
point?
To.
What's the point for them to go on there and just talk bad?
Didn't talk bad. A lot of them talked about how much they loved him and how much they wanted to help him and how they wished they could have been there at his side and been there to help him get through his tough times. There was several people that were interviewed that were like that.
That's not their
his
place.
Including
That's
his
not
former
their
caddy,
place.
Who you're blaming for saying a bunch of salacious things about
Steve,
him.
Steve Williams is not a good dude. Go look up some of the stuff that guy's done.
What, yelled at a bunch of cameramen and told them to shut up in the middle of Tiger's backswing?
No, he's said some racist comments before. He's done a lot of weird stuff. Okay. So I just don't think that people who really have Tiger's best interest at heart are going to go in front of a TV camera and spill the guts.
But who said the documentary had Tiger Woods' best interest at heart? The documentary was about his life and what he's been through and gone up and gone down, and he went way down.
Allegedly.
Fair point.
Well,
let's get to Brian.
All right, allegedly, it's pretty. All right. I won't.
Let's get
you know what I want to? I want someone to make a documentary about my father who's dead, who can't defend himself, and put all of his dirty laundry in the air. That's what I want too. So thank you.
Yeah, my guess is that's probably more so why Tiger didn't get on board than any
Could
of the
be,
other
yeah.
stuff
Could
about
be.
Himself. I mean, you're talking about a man's father who's not even here to defend himself. All right, let's get to break. When we come back, we got a big five, and Brittany Breeze kind of pulls the curtain back and lets us know how hurt Drew Brees actually was. Scraby will cover it when we return. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Welcome back to the program. 4:40 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwynn and Chris. 97.3 The Fan. This hour brought to you by Smart Investing. These are difficult times for investors, difficult times for all of us indeed. Do you buy stocks, sell stocks, put everything in cash? Hey, Brent Wilsey has been in the financial field for over 40 years, and he's seen it all. So tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 a.m. on 97.3 The Fan for financial information you can use. And we're going to get to the big five here in just a second. I know we'll talk about it a little bit later on. You guys might have mentioned it in the first hour before I was able to get here today, but I got to be honest with you, this hiring by the Philadelphia Eagles of another white NFL coach is really bothering me. And we got to kick this thing around. I was reading this story, and it just talks about how all the people that they interviewed for the job, and there's Deuce Staley, and there's Todd Bowles, and there's Eric Bieniemy, the only black guys in the world. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they get interviewed for every job. They never get one. And it just makes me wonder, you know, when the NFL is really going to do something to help make a difference in this area. But I know we got to get to the big five, so kind of angry. I wanted to mention it. Now here's the fans traffic report from the Valley View Casino and Hotel Traffic Center.
It's time to embark on a twisting and turning journey through sports. A strange journey.
What can I do? How can I reverse this?
Sit back, relax. Yeah, and ignore that last part if you're driving. Always have your hands at 10 and 2 with 97.3 on your radio. Gwen and Chris go through the best of the rest of the day. The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
And the Big Five is brought to you by Penske, Lincoln, and La Mesa. Good looks, elegance, sophistication. They must be talking about me. That's what it's like to drive a Lincoln. And Penske, Lincoln, and La Mesa makes it uncomplicated and easy. Penske, Lincoln, 8850 Grossman Boulevard. You can find these great looks on Instagram, Twitter, at Matt Scraby. You can find Tony at Tony Gwynn Jr. You can find Chris at Chris LOSD. And you can find the station at 97.3 The Fan SD on Twitter and Facebook. If you want to see us on Instagram, at 97.3 The Fan. So,
number five.
Let's get into what I teased a little bit earlier, and I'm going to go ahead and tease again. Chris, we should talk about that at 5 p.m., the Eagles coach. Tony and I briefly mentioned it for like maybe 30 seconds. So, 5 p.m. But Deshaun Watson and the rumors of him trying to find another team are still alive, mainly because he keeps stoking the fire. We talked about this yesterday, and we'll talk about it again today, because he posted on Twitter, if you always there for me, that's a really good look. And what people are saying is that if the organization comes behind them, all the fans will love them, and it looks good for the organization. So, Tony.
That's what people interpret that as?
Yes, but because Deshaun Watson, he does this a lot. He puts cryptic things out there. And I don't mind him putting out. If I had the power to put out cryptic things, I would be for sure putting out cryptic things. But in this case, it's cryptic things about his employment. And I think he probably should stay off social media in regards to that. So, Tony, do you think that, do you like that he's keeping this subject in the news?
Yeah, he's keeping a fire to the Houston's organization right now. They're keeping it to their rear end, if you will. This is a dude that didn't say anything for up until like what 2 months ago when he had his last straw.
He's always been a great guy.
I'm okay with it because clearly he feels like there's some wrongdoing going on with his organization in terms of how they've treated him. So I don't mind it. It's not as though it's like a constant thing. It's not as though it's only been selective. I mean, he's pretty much, I think, endured as much as he possibly could from him before he decided to finally say something. So in this case, I don't have a problem with it.
All right, Chris, do you like that he is keeping this subject in the news?
Yes, I do. This isn't necessarily the Texans' fault, although the rest of it is. But right. Deshaun Watson is living in Houston, where he just saw James Harden complain his way out of town and get to him a situation where he might win an NBA championship. Deshaun Watson could be thinking along the same lines. I mean, hey, it worked for him, maybe it'll work for me. I think that this relationship is, you know, maybe beyond repair in Houston. Yeah. And if it's beyond repair, then it's silly for him to sit there and not say anything. I mean, why should he go back there and play for a team he doesn't want to play for? And why should a team that, you know, he didn't want to be with even want him? So he's making it clear, well, let's get something done. Let me get on my way. I don't like the people who run this organization. I don't like how they run it. So, I have no problem with him being a little vocal about wanting to get out of there. Now, he better be careful. He may wind up with the Jets, which a lot of people are saying.
Right.
And that one may not be as much fun as he thinks. But, yeah, if you want out, I think he's, you know, he's at least as good as James Harden was in his sport. So he can say so.
Number four.
I think we found out why Drew Brees looks so off this year. His wife, Brittany, posted on IG. Get it, guys? IG? I said it right.
Mm-hmm. Good, nice work. And nice adjustment.
Thank you, thank you. And revealed what he had been dealing with this season. She said that Drew played with all of these injuries. A torn rotator cuff, torn fascia in his foot, and 11 broken ribs and a collapsed lung, which we actually knew about. The other two we had no idea about until she said this. Now many people Many people were reporting Brees was going to retire after the season, but he actually has yet to make an announcement, and some are saying that he may come back next year. So, Tony, do you think we see Drew Brees one more year?
I don't know, man. Rehab for a rotator cuff at, like, 29 sucks. I can't imagine what rehabbing for a torn rotator cuff is like at the age of 40 plus. Not to mention, torn fascia is like, it's like the worst injury you can have without having surgery.
It's
like,
so painful.
It is so painful. And, I mean, one of the things you got to have is decent feet as a quarterback. Like, you got to be able to plant, throw. So, his the one thing he needs... His one important thing he needs is his rotator cuff. That's torn. Kind of need your feet. It's kind of important. That's torn. Then he had the broken ribs that I'm sure are still healing. But listen, if he decides to retire, he's put together an unbelievable career. If he doesn't, fine by me. I'm always for a guy playing until they take the jersey from me.
Chris, what do you think? Do you think we'll see Drew Brees one more year?
It sounds like his wife thinks that he might want to come back for another year. And
that's what I thought, too,
kind of
right?
Setting the table for him to come back. But, you know, I don't know whether he's going to come back or not, but I know this. It, you know, at least it sounds like, and we know the rib part's all true and the rest of that. I mean, the 11 broken ribs, that was unbelievable for him to come back. And, you know, we talked about Phillip Rivers' career yesterday quite a bit, and the fact that he played in 252 games, you know, come hell or high water, he was out there every Sunday. And, you know, that's what Drew Brees wants to be and was and has been throughout his career. And this is what you get sometimes for playing hurt, though. You play less than 100% or less than your incredible ability normally is.
And people call you old.
And then people call you old and broken down and lousy.
Right.
Yeah, like
right.
Me, I was the one who called him old this year. And really,
so that's kind of the risk you take, unfortunately, by being a gutty, you know, hardcore athlete. And, you know, I think it's kind of a shame because Drew Brees
damned
should be commended for fighting through this season as best he could and ended up having a pretty good season out of it. You know, then they got to the, you know, divisional round and they lost to Tom Brady. That's nothing to be ashamed of. But people still rip Drew Brees this year. Well, he was terrible this year. His wide receiver was broken down all over the place as well, Michael Thomas. So, I don't know. I just have a lot of respect for Drew Brees, and I probably always will. So, you know, I hope he comes back because I'd like to see him play, you know, a healthy full season one more time.
Number three.
Trevor Bauer is rumored to be in with the Mets and Angels. He's still looking for a team to play for in 2021, but he's also been rumored pretty much everywhere. So, Tony, Chris, where does he end up in 2021, you think?
I think he's going to be in the Japanese League this year. No, I don't know.
Thank you for giving me at least an answer. I appreciate that.
How the hell in the world do I know where he's going to end up this year?
I mean, you can guess.
I mean, this guy is the most hard guy to figure out maybe in all of baseball. So I have no idea what's going to catch his eye. I'll tell you what. I'm going to predict right here and now that he winds up on the Dodgers.
Ooh.
And I'm predicting that because I am confident in my ability to be wrong.
Okay, all right. I like where you're going with that, Tony.
So,
what do you think?
The Dodgers.
Trevor Bauer, where is he going to end up?
I'll give you two. I think it's going to be the Dodgers or the Mets. Mm. I think the Mets haven't spent the money they thought they might spend. Springer signs with Blue Jays. There was some debate early on whether it was going to be should the Mets go after Springer or should they go after Bauer? Well, Springer's taken off the board. They've got a boatload of money to spend, although they don't have a GM anymore.
That's true.
Might take a little longer to get the deal done. But
they might have a little more money, though.
They do. I honestly think it's going to be one of those two spots. It's going to be L.A. or it's going to be the Mets.
I think he fits in with the Mets. I think Mets fans would like him. Okay.
He'd love to wind up on the back page of the New York Post. That's where he would spend a lot of his time.
I bet you he would. Chargers head coach Brandon Staley is laying out his coaching philosophy, and he said today about analytics in football, quote, "The thing about analytics is they drive better decision-making," and he says he wants to be at the quote-unquote forefront of that movement. He adds that context and feel are crucial when applying data to decisions, and this is not my question. I saw this floating around online. Tony, is analytics an excuse for lack of coaching talent?
It doesn't have to be. Analytics can be used as a very strong tool. But, however, sometimes it is kind of an excuse for some. But I like what Staley's saying, though. I mean, yes, he wants to be at the forefront of it. But the key thing he said in there is that analytics need context and they have to have feel. If you have those two things, analytics is an unbelievable tool. If you don't have those two things, it can be an excuse maker.
Well said. Chris, is analytics just a cover-up for being a bad coach?
No, it's not a cover-up for being a bad coach. It's a cover-up for making bad decisions, though.
Yeah.
The numbers said I should do it.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of guys, you know, unfortunately use it for. Kevin Cash is at the head of the table for this. I mean, you know, made an awful decision in the World Series. We all knew it was an awful decision. Somewhere down deep, even Kevin Cash knows it was an awful decision. Yet, he hid behind analytics when he made it. And to me, it cost the Rays a chance to win the World Series. And then I don't know if they would have, you know, won Game 6, Game 7 is a long way to go, but I think a lot of guys make decisions based solely on analytics, and it's a shame because I think they wind up making the wrong call a lot of times. So, to me, as we've discussed, analytics should be part of your decision-making, not all of your decision-making.
Number one.
Oh, my gosh. I hit that too quick. And it scared me again. If you guys were watching me on the Zoom camera, I just jumped out of my chair like I did yesterday. Chris, you're up first on this one. I'm going to say it fast. The Cincinnati Bengals are getting a new look in 2021. The team announced in a really cool video that was really only a video announcing the announcement. So they said, look out for a new uniform. But it got me thinking, I personally like the Bengals uniforms. I know some don't. Chris, what's your least favorite NFL team look?
Boy, that's tough. Just right off,
that is tough.
I mean, out of all the teams... I don't know. Depends on what day it is, but I don't like the way the Seahawks look. All blue.
I knew you were going to say the Seahawks.
You did?
Because you've complained about their lime green uniform so many times.
Yeah, the lime green are really a bad look. Thank you for helping me. That cements my pick on the Seahawks.
Tony, what do you think?
Green Bay.
Wow, Green Bay. People think that's classic.
It might be classic. Like doesn't mean it's not ugly. Huh. It is not green and yellow or not two
I'm
of the
I'm with you, Tony. I never liked Green Bay's look all that much either.
I mean, it definitely is a classic, but it's a classic ugly color, so for sure.
I can't imagine them in any other look, though.
No, I can't either. I can't either.
Well, you will get to see them this Sunday in the NFC Championship game with that look. You'll get to see the second half of Gwynn and Chris, or at least hear it next on...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.